I'm going to read Genesis chapter 5 tonight, about three verses, Genesis chapter 5. I'm trying to bring a little message to the Lord about my heart about.
Amen.
I hope I can be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, begin at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to try to preach a few minutes on Enoch was not. Enoch was not.
Amen.
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 Of course, the Bible tells us, you know, you can put all his story and all about him that's written in the New Testament, I think it's about in one verse, one or two verses.
Right.
And Hebrews 11 and verse 5 said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him.
Right.
For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Right.
What a testimony that is, that he pleased God.
Amen.
I hope today you and me can say in truth that we're trying to please God in our everyday lives.
Amen.
If I know my heart, I want to please God.
Mm.
I'd like to please you, but I'd rather please God.
Amen.
If I could just please God, I hope other folks will be pleased. And if they're not, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But I want to say, first of all, Enoch was not lame.
Amen.
Because he walked by faith. Now the Bible tells in Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Mm.
And so Enoch walked by faith. Now, if I understand this right, faith, of course, is a gift of God.
Man, right.
Faith comes to hearing.
That's right.
The Bible don't say anything about Enoch's faith till the birth of Methuselah, when he begat Methuselah.
Right.
In other words, God said something to Enoch when Methuselah was born. At this child's death, it shall be your judgment shall come. So it's after the birth of Methuselah that Enoch walked with God by faith. He didn't walk by feeling. He did not faint. He looked to the future. He looked to the Lord. And
right.
Walked by faith.
Yeah.
What the Bible tells us we're supposed to do? We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Now you can't walk by faith and live by faith until you're saved and justified by faith.
Right.
When you get justified by faith, then you're to live by faith. Faith is responding to God when God makes himself known to you.
Amen.
Right.
That's what faith is.
Yes,
evangelical faith is not historical faith. A lot of folks have historical faith. They believe in Jesus Christ like believing in George Washington.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But saving faith,
amen,
is based on facts, but saving faith lays hold on him you cannot see, that the Bible sets forth as Lord and Savior. And so Enoch was not lame, and Enoch was not liberal.
Right.
I think that liberals are apostates,
right,
and liars. I think liberal is really a sanctified word for liars. So Enoch agreed with God. See, you can't walk with God unless you agree with God.
Amen.
And Enoch agrees with God. I think you ought to agree with God on the scriptures.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
I agree with God. Don't you about the scriptures?
Amen.
I mean, the Lord gave the word to break with the company of those that published it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I rejoice that thy word is one that finds grace born. Thank God for the scriptures.
Yes, amen.
And you'll be a liberal if you don't agree with the scriptures. All liberals disagree with the scriptures.
That's the truth.
They don't believe the scriptures. They don't believe the scriptures on salvation.
Right.
You know, the scriptures set forth salvation.
Amen.
One brother said one time, the preacher said, now, I don't believe them writing anything down. And the old preacher said back to him, said, I'm glad God wrote it down so we can have it.
Amen.
And So holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So we need to agree with God on salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. Liberals do not agree with God on salvation.
Right.
They believe in doing penance instead of repentance.
Yeah.
They believe in joining the church instead of getting baptized by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In the body of Christ.
Amen.
May God help us to agree with God on salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad almost 51 years ago, God turned the light of the law upon me.
Amen.
I saw what it was by nature, what it must be by the grace of God.
Amen.
God convicted me, proved me guilty.
Right.
I found myself outside the fold under condemnation.
Right.
And the cords of love, God drew me to the cross.
Yes.
And at the cross,
oh,
when I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away.
Yes.
It was there, by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day.
Yeah.
And so it's a free gift of God by grace through faith.
Amen.
Jesus came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them which believe on his name, which were born. Not of the will of the flesh and the will of man, but of God.
Right.
I'm glad if you're saved, you've been born of God. Be born of God, be born of love.
Amen.
Be born of God, be born of love, and you know you're passing death in life. How? Not because you preach good or sing good,
right,
but because you love the brethren. He that loveth knoweth God.
Right.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Right.
Love is an active word.
Right.
My little children, it's not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so if you're love, you've got real faith, it works by love.
Amen.
Not circumcision, uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
Amen.
Real faith is a working faith. Know this, O vain man,
right,
that faith without works is dead.
That's right.
Is long.
Amen.
And so we ought to agree with God and not be a liberal. There's so many liberals in the church world.
Amen.
They're liberal concerning separation. Now there's a gross line between separation and self-righteousness. We separate because we love the Lord and want to be a light to other folks.
Yeah, amen.
You know, to be separated don't make you any more holy or any more righteous. But it lets your light shine better.
Right.
See, you can't get any more righteous than you are when you get the perfect righteousness of God.
Amen.
Positionally, we can be more righteous practically.
Right.
We can be more righteous in our daily lives.
Amen.
We can live more holy. It's the will of God is even our sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4. God wants all of his children to live sanctified, separated, consecrated, dedicated lives. And we need not to be a liberal in concerning separation. We come out from among the world. Live for God. Love God. Love the service of God.
Amen.
Love the things of God.
Right.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't keep yourself saved, but you can keep yourself in the love of God.
Yeah.
You can cultivate your love.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, over there in the book of Acts chapter 13, the church ministered to the Lord. That is, they had a courtship love for the Lord. And the Holy Ghost said to them, separate Saul and Barnabas from the work whereunto I'll call them. In other words, they was in such a relationship with the Lord till the Lord could speak to the church, and they heard what he said and separated Saul and Barnabas. And when they fasted and prayed, they ordained them.
Right.
In fact, almost every time somebody got ordained in the book of Acts, they didn't just lay hands on them, they fasted and prayed.
Yeah.
And then laid hands on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Is that right? That's what the church did there in Acts chapter 13. And so we ought to live godly. Enoch was not in love with the world.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells us, love not the world. That is the system of the world. The system of the world is under the domain of Satan. Satan
Amen.
Is the prince of the power of
right.
that. He's the god of this world.
Right.
And when you get saved, you're saved from the world system.
Amen.
The world knows our stuff because you knew him not. Now, you're told not to love the world, nor the things that are in the world.
Right.
If any man love the world, then the Father's not in him.
Yeah.
All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, is not the Father, but it's of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof.
Yeah.
But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
And so, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of God,
right,
but it's of the world.
Amen.
So whatever we lust at our flesh, our spirit of the flesh, lusts for, and whatever we reach for, that's not of God. We're supposed to be content with such things that we have. Enoch, listen, Enoch was not in love with the world. The world was falling apart around him. He lived in a godless age, but he lived a godly life.
Yeah.
Now think about this. Enoch didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a pastor. He didn't have any Christian friends.
Yeah.
But 300 years, he walked with God right. by faith. In a godless, imagine the gloom and doom around him. Imagine how wicked it was around him, and yet in a godless society, he lived a godly life. There's no excuse for us not living holy lives.
Amen.
There's no excuse for us not loving the Lord. There's no excuse for us not being faithful to God. If any can walk with God for faith 300 years, you and me with all the gadgets we have now, we can certainly live for God.
Amen.
Well, he said to me a while back, said, boy, Brother Mitchell said, it's hard to be a Christian, ain't it? I said, if you're not a Christian.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's the problem today.
Yeah.
Hardest thing you have done trying to be a Christian if you're not a Christian.
That's right.
You know, you don't enjoy the services. Don't enjoy preaching. Don't enjoy praying. Don't enjoy testifying. Don't enjoy singing. Amen. And that same crowd, they can be faithful to the world,
right.
though.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Some kind of shindig's going on. They'll get there right out their own time. They didn't even come in on time for that. They'll quit work to get their own time.
Amen.
May God help us. Listen, he was in the world. He was a loner, but he wasn't lonely. There wasn't nobody else going with him. See, think about this. We got folks walk with us.
Right.
We got people know the same Savior we know.
That's right.
Well, listen, we live in the best age ever.
That's right.
The church age is the best dispensation thus far.
Sure.
If a person can't live for God now, you say, well, that's a lot of bad things. I know there's a lot of apostate churches, a lot of compromising preachers, but when it's all said and done, there are still some preachers and Christians that love God, believe the Bible, and have some Christian friends, and if you can't live for God now, what you need is a trip to the mourner's bench.
Right.
And stay there to heaven and pledge your soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that's right.
Amen.
I guess something else. Enoch was not loose in his preaching.
Right.
I preached on Enoch was not. He was not lame. He was not liberal. He was not in love with this world, and he wasn't loose in his preaching. You read that in the book of Jude, 14, 15. Enoch, the seventh man, Adam, prophesied these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of the saints to execute judgment. Enoch was a judgment preacher.
Right. Amen.
On all the ungodly. He preached against the ungodlies. He preached God's going to judge an ungodly world. I think today, if we're right with God and living for God, our message will be a whole lot of times will be judgment on an ungodly world. If we're having a repetition of Noah's day and a repetition of Lot's day and all this sin going on, I think we need some old-fashioned judgment.
Amen.
And have a nation preaching what
he's saying.
I know people today, they won't go to church this election. Hellfire and damnation church over there. Brother, you better be glad. You know, preaching on hell. Listen, hell is a mercy message. Hell is a love message. Did you understand that? God could have made hell and not even told us about it.
Right.
God could have fixed the hell for the wicked and said nothing about it in the Bible. But God loved us so much, he told us more about hell than about hell.
Yes.
And hell was one of the favorite subjects of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth.
Come on,
right.
He even told us about a fellow died and went to hell. What's going on down there? He said there's fire down there. He said there's torment.
Right.
He said there's crying and praying, weeping and wailing. He said the place where the worm dies, not the fire, not quenched.
Right.
He warned so much, and he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
Hell, he preached on hell a lot more than he did about heaven.
Amen.
A lot of folks like for the preacher to preach about heaven. You know, we don't know too much about heaven.
That's right.
Bible don't say that much about heaven.
Right.
It says God did not hold a city coming down from God out of heaven.
Right.
And that is a heavenly city, but it's not heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
We know the heavenly city's got gold streets, jasper walls, pearl gates.
Yeah.
That's heavenly city coming down.
Amen.
But very little we know about the third heaven.
Right.
We know one thing, if it's the place where God's throne is, it's a holy place.
Amen.
And we know also if the angels are crying, holy, 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 and rejoicing, it's a happy place.
Sure it is.
And we
sure
know if it's better there than this here, praise God, it's a place you ought to want to go to.
Yes, preacher. Amen.
Listen, Enoch was not loose in his preaching.
Right.
Amen.
I believe this is right. You can think about it, son. What we need is some law preaching in its rightful order.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
See, nobody's interested in the gospel until first they're faced with law, because by the law, the knowledge of sin.
Right.
Without the law, there's no transgression.
Right.
Now, we're not under law, but God did not repeal his law. The law is fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
Right.
Romans 10:4 said Christ is the end of law for righteous to everyone that believes. Not to everyone.
No, sir.
Just everyone that believes. What Christ done is ushered in a church dispensation and a full of grace age. But the Bible tells in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that the law is not made for a righteous man.
Right.
Well, who is a righteous man? Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
Only one righteous, that's Jesus Christ. So if you're righteous, you're in Christ. So Christ, the end of law, for righteous, everyone that believes, those that are in Christ, that makes us righteous.
Yes. Right. Amen.
But see, the law is just as good on those that's not in Christ, on the sinner, as it ever was. That's the reason hell is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The law requires a perfect payment on sin.
Right.
And the sinner can't pay a perfect payment.
Amen.
And so when the sinner dies, apart from the blood of Christ, redeeming the grace of God, he dies of the law.
Right.
And he goes to hell of the law.
Right. Amen.
And the law requires him to pay perfectly, and he can't pay perfectly, so he suffers eternally under the law of hell.
Right.
That's what hell is, execution of the law.
Yeah.
That's the reason hell is eternal. That's what Christ underwent at the cross. He was executed under the law.
That's right.
Galatians 3:13, he was cursed of that law. He's made a curse for us, redeem us from the curse of the law.
Right.
Only eternal deity can suffer eternal hell in 3 hours, and that's what Jesus did at the cross. He suffered hell.
Amen.
He was forsaken of God. That's what hell is, to be forsaken of God.
Amen.
And that's what sinners are going to do when they go to hell, be forsaken of God forever and forever and forever. God will never hear a cry from hell.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, and I tell you, when the country lost their glory, it's when they stopped executing the penalty on sin.
Yeah.
Everybody denies the death penalty is a liberal.
Right.
Amen.
God executed the death penalty on the first man that ever sinned for petty larceny.
Yeah.
All he does is eat the tree God said don't eat of.
Right.
The day she eats of it, she shall surely die.
Right.
And for 6,000 years, that one sin, when sin entered, it's left its trail for 6,000 years. That's
Amen.
What God thinks about sin.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's good preaching.
Amen.
That's right.
The Bible said the soul that sinned it shall die.
Right.
If God didn't believe in the death penalty and execute the death penalty, Christ wouldn't have died.
Right.
Christ died for sin.
Amen.
Christ died for the sovereign.
Yeah.
And Christ died for sinners. But he died for the sovereign first. He offered himself without spot to God. God must be satisfied first. God would never nor could never save a sinner at the expense of his character.
Right. Amen.
So somebody must keep the law. Someone must die under the law who did no sin and yet became sin for the sinner. That's what Christ did.
Amen.
He offered himself as a sweet smelling savor as well as a sin offering. He was a sweet smelling offering.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sweet savor offering.
Amen.
Savor offering to satisfy God and a sin offering to save sinners.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, what about that?
So God's totally satisfied by the offering of Jesus Christ. And see, you read the word of Leviticus. When the sin offering was a kill, they flayed the offer, the animal. Flayed it. And they didn't only burn his flesh on the altar, brazen altar, but they burned inward parts. Jesus Christ under the fire sins in his body, but his inward parts
right.
suffered. Amen. His inward parts was on the altar to suffer the wrath of God for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when the earthquake and the rocks ripped and the veils really turned to top to bottom, God, as judge of the universe, was saying, I'm satisfied what my son has done. He put a stop to all the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices. And now if you get saved, you come to the one offering.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. America's really God is totally and completely satisfied, and now God can be just and justify a believing sinner.
Amen.
That's the only way God can be just.
Right.
You listen to me. Listen to me. Old Testament saints were justified by faith in the promise.
Right.
They were not regenerated.
Right.
Amen.
They were not redeemed as we are.
Right.
As far as having the assurance of they died in faith, having not received the promise, having seen them afar off.
Right.
They're persuaded by the promises. So their sins were put under the blood. The blood of animals could never take away sin.
Right.
But Christ appeared in the end of the world to put away sin.
Yeah.
Our sin's been taken away.
Yeah.
Killed and torn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they had to go to paradise. Their spirits were not made perfect. Now, Hebrews 12 tells New Testament Christians, we've come to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Amen.
So when Christ died, His blood made their spirit perfect.
Right.
Perfecting their spirits, and He's perfecting our spirits. That's why a man is born of God does not commit sin.
Right.
The outward man is not born of God. Even a man is born of God.
Right.
So the man is born of God does not commit sin because that's Christ in you. And he can't sin because his single man is in him and he cannot sin.
Amen. Right.
Because he's born of God.
Right.
That's New Testament language there.
That's right.
All right.
New Testament
language.
That's reconciliation.
Amen.
Regeneration is a New Testament
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
So then regenerated. God regenerated us by His Spirit.
Yes.
Birthed us in His family. Washed our sins away.
Amen.
The offering of Jesus Christ is so complete. When God saves you, as far as God's concerned, there's never been anything wrong with you.
Right.
He puts it all away.
Amen.
You said, if everybody gets saved, gets forgiven like that, everybody gets saved, gets forgiven. But some folks have scars on them that they can't get rid of.
Yeah.
It's like you getting healed. You cut your arm or cut yourself real bad. Though it's all healed up, no problem. You still got that scar.
Right.
See, those qualifications for the office in the church in 1 Timothy 3 is not for God, but for the people.
Yeah.
So the qualifications have to be met there by a fellow that's going to be in the office. And if he's got certain scars upon him, it don't keep him being as good a Christian as anybody else. He just can't meet the qualification for the office because of some scars. That don't mean that there's anything wrong with his salvation.
Right. Amen.
That means it has to be a family example. Examples of the flock, because everybody keeps being.
Amen.
Right.
I know people. And you probably do too.
Yeah,
and if anybody's messed up their marriage or something before they get saved, they won't let them lead in silent prayer, play a piano, sing a special note. Well, the scriptures don't have any qualifications for that.
No, sir.
All the scriptures have qualifications for is overseers, bishops, and deacons.
That's it.
One fellow called me and said, you believe so-and-so is qualified to be a Sunday school superintendent? Said he smoked cigarettes. I said, if you can find somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost, you won't have to worry about a cigarette.
Right.
Besides that, if you create office, you've got to create qualifications.
Amen.
No such thing as a Sunday school superintendent in the Bible. Now the church, since it's an autonomous body, has authority to create qualifications.
That's exactly right.
That's
exactly right.
Your standards can be whatever the church chooses here.
Right.
God's given us that liberty. But as far as the Bible goes, there's no qualifications for a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school superintendent or a special singer.
Right.
The qualifications are for overseers and deacons, elders in the church.
Right.
Everybody already knows that.
Amen.
Enoch was not loose in his preaching. Enoch was a straight preacher. Amen.
Amen.
Just a preacher. And then Enoch was not lazy. He kept on walking.
Amen.
Did you know God's against laziness?
That's right.
Yeah. God's against laziness. God told Adam, said, you know, you keep this garden. He came over and said, 6 days shalt thou labor. 1 day to rest, 6 days to labor.
Right.
Nowadays, folks want to work four and be off three.
Yeah.
Y'all got any of them around here?
Hey,
one fellow said, I just cannot work on Friday. I said, well, according to the Bible, we're supposed to work 6 days.
That's approved.
Yeah. Ain't that right? He just kept on walking. He kept on walking. So many people are lazy Christians. May God help us. I know preachers and deacons and leaders in the church, they come dragging in. Now, some folks have to work. I understand that. They don't get overtime. And I'm talking about folks that could. They come dragging in 5-10 minutes late.
Right.
I said, well, Beck, why don't you go to work like that?
Amen.
Right. Amen.
But it's more important to love God and work for God than he did, you know. He did keep on walking. I think we're going to keep on walking.
Amen.
Keep on running. It's not how fast you run, it's how consistent you run.
Amen.
And we're his workmanship. We're supposed to keep on working for God.
Right.
I thought about what the preacher said about having it working. Most places, when you have it working, you can haul them off in one automobile.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, you'd be surprised what all people have to do if you're going to have it working at the church.
That's
y'all have any problem with that up here? They got a deer hunt, turkey hunt, goat fishing. I meant to come, and I forgot about y'all going to work that night. May God help us. Anytime you think you might forget it, just let me know, and I'll give you a call.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
I even called some folks the other day that couldn't get church on time, and I called them, woke them up, and they went back to sleep. Some folks, you know, you just can't really get awake. Enoch kept on walking, kept on working, and he kept on waiting. We're supposed to wait for his son from heaven. First time someone walked in. And wait don't mean you sit on a stargaze. When you wait, it's like in a battle. It's like you know, you fight, and then you wait. What you do is dig in and get ready for the next attack.
Amen.
And what he said, we wait for his son. We're preparing for his son from heaven. Even
Jesus,
that saved us and delivered us from the wrath to come. We're supposed to wait patiently for his coming.
Right.
If you're waiting on his coming, you're preparing for his coming.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're trying to get things in order.
Right.
First coming.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't want him to come and catch me laying out of church.
That's right.
I wouldn't want him to come and catch me laying away from a Bible reading. I wouldn't want him to come when I wouldn't go on visitation.
Right.
I want to be trying to do his will.
Amen.
One fellow told me, I'm waiting on him to say well done. I said, well, if he says well done, it'll have to be well done.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's not going to say well done if it's not well done.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I think. Now, you can be wrong if you want to and disagree with me. And I think in this generation, me and Peter right in the middle of the circle, I doubt if he'll say well done to many 21st century Christians.
Amen.
Amen.
True.
I think if we could step back 150 years, I wonder how many of us didn't have an automobile to ride in. Didn't have padded pews to sit on, had no central heat and air, had to work in the field. I wouldn't have any of us maybe live 3 miles from church, would walk. When I was a boy, there used to be 25, 30 people on the road from Revival walking home after church. And sometimes they'd stay at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock. People praying at the altar.
Sure did.
Getting right with God. And saints are getting right. People are sitting around, you know, getting right with God. And they walk to church and back.
Right.
Nowadays, folks won't hardly go. I tell you, riding in a fine automobile You know, I'm not good to preach negative all the time. When I began preaching, you know, any kind of meeting church house this size, you'd have a full house.
That's right.
Nowadays, you're going to have a full house, you're going to have games and gimmicks, or they're not coming.
Right.
You're going to preach on salvation, separation, sanctification, and glorification, they're not coming.
Right. Amen.
You're right, preacher.
Amen.
This very little crowd, same way all over the whole country that I go to.
Uh-huh.
You have 40 or 50 faithful ones. If you hold truth to the Word of God and don't become a liberal, a compromiser, and tone it down, quit saying anything about sin. If you just preach straight, most people are not coming. They'll hunt up another church. They can find one just down the road. I don't live here, but you can start either direction and find a church which says anything about what you're wearing.
I guarantee you can.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You're right.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, don't have any kind of standards, convictions, nothing. Just they say, just come as you are. Come casually dressed. That means wear your shorts.
Yeah.
That means wear your slack suits. That means just wear your bullfighting breeches. I was right down here in Somerset in a meeting not too long ago, and it had been bad enough. It had been 18 or 20 year olds, but these old 85-year-old women come in on walking sticks with bullfighting breeches on.
Yeah.
What about that?
And I preach against it.
Pretty shy.
Yeah.
Amen.
I preach against it.
Amen.
Amen.
I do too, brother.
I preach against it. I think it's terrible.
I do too.
Amen.
Enoch was not living as others. While others lived after the flesh, went after the world, Enoch lived by faith. Enoch was not living as other folks. Somebody said to me, the Lord God said, but everybody's doing what you're preaching against. I said, I don't know about everybody doesn't know it, but that's not just half the truth. But everybody got offended. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
If we're having a repetition of Noah's day, now you decide. You think we are?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen. I believe we're in Noah's
day. I think we're in Noah's day.
I do too, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
Now, one crowd talking about what a great revival they're having over there. And then they turn around next week and preach on Noah's day. I said, one of them is not so.
That's right.
Amen. If there's being a great revival in the nation, and if the charismatic clowns is right, then Noah's day is nowhere in sight.
That's right.
Because in Noah's day was total apostasy. Every thought of the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. They was doing things and imagined new things they couldn't even do. That's the way this stuff is today.
Amen.
They imagine to do worse than they actually can do. They like to do worse than they can do.
You're right.
They don't want to do these things. They have pleasure in them that do them. This bunch of sodomites and same-sex guys and liberal politicians that promote that stuff, they enjoy seeing folks just do worse and worse and worse and worse. Who ever thought we'd ever see a day like we're in now? Divorce rates over 50%?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
amen.
About that.
And the crookedest place you can get into the courthouse, the judicial system is totally in the mud.
Right.
Amen.
You can take a few thousand dollars and a secret order and go to the courthouse and get out of any kind of crime.
Sure.
Amen.
You know, they couldn't be the way this bunch of lawyers, I know there's maybe a few good ones nationwide, but you know, you just normally couldn't be that big a crook liar. You've got to go to college 8 years to learn how to be that big a liar.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You have to be taught how to be that crooked.
Yeah.
Just a normal man couldn't wind up crooked like that.
You're right.
Amen.
You know, we got one of them said to me the other day, said, did you know 1% of the people in America is in the penitentiary? I said, well, if it's like it should be, 10% ought to be in there. Because we have criminals, worse criminals, sentencing criminals that's done things worse than those they sentenced.
Amen.
Right.
That's the way it was in Noah's day.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Wickedness everywhere. Lot's day, the whole outfit gave themselves over to fornication. They didn't just commit fornication, it was their lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Now, you know today, the only thing, the kind of movies I hear on the radio, the kind of movies that makes millions of dollars on the weekend is the more filthy, foul they can get, the more money they make.
Right. Yes, sir, you're telling the truth.
Right. And that little bunch of third graders down there, over there down in Georgia, somewhere down there,
yeah,
wanted to do something. And they said, reckon why them little kids wanted to do it? Reckon why they... I said, well, they've been watching that stuff since they're diapers. That's all they know.
That's exactly right.
They know how to kill.
You're right.
They know how to rape at 10 years old.
Sure they do.
Listen, they hear a language today. Right. You couldn't get on the street 60 years ago.
Amen.
That's right. Noah's day is here. This nation's headed for a head-on crash for the wrath of God.
Amen.
Put it down. Amen. I believe this. I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm right.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
I think we've gone beyond turning back.
I believe so, too.
Amen.
I do, too, brother.
I think when all is filth is accepted as an alternative lifestyle.
Right.
They call it sexual orientation when really it's wicked perversion.
Yes, wicked. Yes. Yes, preacher.
And when they say Islamic religion's okay, Roman Catholic religion's okay, saying that all religions is good, when they accept that and let them like God accept it, that tells you that God's turned the light out.
Right.
They don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Right.
If you know the difference, and if God's put a little spark in you, you better thank God.
Praise
you could be one
Lord.
Of them.
Amen.
You could be one of them that didn't know
Amen.
The difference. I think most of our folks don't know the difference.
That's the truth.
Right. Amen.
You're right.
One of them said to me the other day, he said, are you saying a sodomite couldn't get saved? I said, I'm saying when a sodomite goes to the extent and gets to the place where he thinks it's alternative and God accepts it, he's gone too far.
I believe that. Amen. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think some of those Corinthians, they're raised in the heathen society, and they got led astray by older ones, and might have got into it temporarily. Such were some of you. But a fellow that goes to heaven, has pleasure in that kind of lifestyle, and lives that kind of life, listen, he's heading to hell at a breakneck speed.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's the way it was in those days. I've got a sister that's 74 years old, and she's got terrible lung cancer right now, and I tried to witness to her last summer. And she said, well, it's never too late. I said, it's too late 100 years before the blood comes.
Right. Amen.
It might make pretty good preaching if some folks get up and say, Noah, try to get him to get an ark. But God had Noah to fix a custom-made ark, and he turned the light out on him before Noah ever started the ark.
Right.
Genesis 6:3. He said, my spiritual not always struggle, man. In other words, he cut him off right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, he's gone so far, I regret that I've even made man. It repented the Lord in his heart that he made man. He got so wicked.
That's right.
What do you think he thinks about this society today?
Oh, dear God.
Do you have something to think about it? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
This country's had more life than any nation in the world.
Right.
We've had preachers went up and down this country and established churches, went in the cold and heat and rain.
Yes.
Forsaken their family and lived almost destitute lives, to preach the word of God, blaze a trail, so we can have this liberty with them. That's why I'm so hard against this bunch of political liberals, it's communists and atheists and traitors. You know what I think? I think they'll load them all on ships and head out across the Pacific and get them about halfway out and sink the ship.
You're right.
They've sold this country out.
Yeah, they have.
Give this country away. They've made it a global government.
Yeah.
And a global economy.
That's right.
The only ones that are against you, somebody trying to do right and stick with the Word of God. They think you are wild-eyed, right-wing
fanatic.
They think you're the problem.
They thought the problem.
They thought John the Baptist is the problem. They thought Christ the problem. And now they think you're the problem.
This bunch of
ragheads gets in control. You'll find out what they'll do. Churches like
this. Yes, sir.
Listen, you think they have any mercy? They have no mercy.
Right.
They're so deluded and messed up spiritually, they think they're doing the will of God. They don't know the difference.
Right.
They don't know the difference. God turned the light out on them.
Yeah. Wicked.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
And so, Enoch wasn't living as others. And Enoch was not looking for things to get better in his day. No use you looking for things to get better. I got some glad news, but I got some sad news first. You've already seen the best day you'll ever see in America.
I believe that, man.
You've already seen the best day you'll ever see. You've got to get out of here and see a better day.
Amen.
It's going to get worse. America's the last stronghold in the world.
Right.
And now it's crumbling. But you know, most people, maybe some of the groups, some of you, but most people, you can preach on just what I'm preaching about. They can't get it.
Right.
They cannot get it.
That's the truth.
You're right.
They do not believe it.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
They go on as if the preacher has said nothing.
Right.
Amen.
They go right back to the way they were living yesterday.
Right. Amen.
They're not going to change.
Amen.
Right. You're right.
He kept on walking. He wasn't looking for things to get better down here. The more he walked, the closer to heaven he got. After 300 years, he was not, for God took him.
Amen.
I believe this. I believe Enoch is a picture of the church. Enoch went out before the blood.
Yeah.
He didn't go through the blood.
No.
He went out before the blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now I think Noah and his folks, eight of them, is a picture of the Hebrew nation that goes through the tribulation.
Yeah.
Comes out in a new world.
What about that?
That's
good. You have to watch them Campbellites now, the Church of Christ, all the ones I know. They quote that first, high quote 1 Peter 3.
Yeah.
Where it said, baptism, but now it says, but it's a like figure. Like this, when the flood come, eight souls are saved by water.
Yeah.
Not their souls, they're saved physically.
Right.
Physically. Eight's a Jewish number. They went through the flood. The Israelite elect lives by my nation. It's going through the great tribulation.
Right.
That's why it said in Matthew chapter 24, he that shall enter the end, the same shall be saved.
Right.
Not soul salvation.
Amen.
Verse 22, right there in Matthew 24, says, except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved.
Yeah.
So it's talking about being saved and enduring through the tribulation physically.
Right. Amen.
I put a little piece of paper a while back, got a little static on it. I said, questions ask your preacher. What end do you have to endure to be saved? End of this life? End of time? End of the millennium? End of the tribulation? What end? Nobody's ever been saved as far as their soul is concerned by enduring. But physically, they get saved. They're saved physically by enduring to the end of the tribulation, friends. Because the Antichrist would kill every Jew alive if he could.
Right. Amen.
And he would do it if God didn't shorten the days. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We don't know how much.
Right.
But we know the days are going to be shortened for the earthly elect's sake.
Yeah.
That's the nation of Israel. God's going to shorten those days for their sake.
Right.
Because he's going to restore them. The tribulation period of time of Jacob's trouble, and basically, is for the Israelite nation, which is spread throughout the world. The tribulation period is not for the church. There's no church in Matthew 24 at all. Church is not even mentioned in Matthew 24.
Right.
It's a Jewish setting altogether.
Right.
Yeah. It's a Jewish apostles. Jewish nation.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm in the church age.
Amen.
Over here, let me say this in closing. In this day now, there's Jew, Gentile, Church of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:32.
Yeah.
So if you're in the church, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. You've got to give up your identity to get saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
The reason most people like you don't get saved is they won't give up their identity.
Amen.
Now Gentiles don't have that much problem with identity, but Jews, if they embrace Christ and get saved, their family disowns them, their country, they actually have a mock funeral and burial.
Yeah.
If they embrace Christianity, because they don't believe, as a nation, they don't believe Christ, they're born, they're blinded.
Right.
That's why that man and woman there in John chapter 9, their boy that was born blind,
yeah,
they got his eyesight, and they're trying to find out, the Pharisees trying to find out who it was giving this his eyesight, and the argument was Jesus. They thought Jesus was a sinner. So it said, no, that God heareth not sinners pray. And so they asked his fellow's parents, they said, who gave this fellow's eyesight to him? You know what? His parents wouldn't say,
no,
for fear of being cast out of synagogue.
Right.
Because if he got cast out of synagogue, they'd have marked.
Yeah.
They said, he's of age, ask him.
That's right.
So over here now, I'm getting to this point where we are now. We're not Jew nor Gentile, but we're in the church.
Amen.
We're a spiritual organism, lifted above this world.
Amen.
Seated in heavenly places in Christ, in a spiritual organism.
That's good.
I'm glad I'm in the church.
Amen.
There's one head of the church, and that's not the Pope.
Amen.
That's what I call him, a Pope. Instead of a Pope.
That's right.
You know, they claim they think he took Peter's place. Now you look at the popes over here now, and then read the Bible about Peter and see if there's any resemblance at all. There's no resemblance at all. Peter didn't put on all them garments, you know, put on some kind of crown, hang gold chains around.
No, sir.
Peter didn't do that. Peter wouldn't let people worship him.
No, sir.
Amen.
That Pope receives worship for deluded, deceived sinners that don't know the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Ain't it awful?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad God saved me, not only from sin, but he saved me from that kind of religion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
I'm glad I'm in the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
How many folks are saved? Let's see.
Amen.
Any one of them is saved.
Amen.
Yes.
May God bless you. Let's stand, please. Here we go.